Well, I appreciate the privilege to pray. Thank the Lord for access that we have. He said we could come boldly before the throne of grace. And that means with confidence and assurance. That don't mean in arrogance or boastfulness or pride about who we are or what we have to offer. But it means with confidence that the one we're going to is able to do what we're asking him to do. I know it's 2021 and times are dark, but he's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And it's according to the power that worketh in us. It never has ceased to work in the hearts and lives of God's people, and I'm glad for that tonight. Luke chapter 11, if you have your Bibles tonight and want to read along with us, will be in the Gospel of Luke chapter number 11. Certainly desire your prayers tonight that the Lord would help us. I realize more than anybody else here about my insufficiency and my neediness of Him. And I need Him tonight. I need His help. And I trust that He will help us tonight. And that if He speaks to your heart, that you'll be obedient to Him. And if He bids you to do business with Him, you'll do so tonight. Luke chapter 11, when you found your place, if you're physically able, if you want to stand and rest from your seats, we'll show reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God by standing together tonight. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, I have nothing to set before him. He from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, that he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight, if God would help me, for just a few minutes on learning to pray. Here in this scripture, it caught my heart today that the Bible said, and it came to pass in verse number 1, that as he, talking about the Lord, was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. It sounds to me like the Lord was praying and they were listening. And as they listened to how he prayed, they realized they didn't know as much about praying as they thought they did. Or they realized they didn't know as much about praying as they wanted to know. And so it fueled a burning desire in them to want to know how to pray. They're not asking the Lord what to pray. They're asking Him how to pray. This is not, and we call it the model prayer, and it's recorded in other Gospels, but that my heart was drawn to this particular account in Luke's Gospel because Luke records it with another saying or another words of the Lord that there's no break in the conversation. Everything from verse number 1 to verse number 13 all takes place in the same conversation. So the Lord is not telling them what to say or what to pray. He's not telling them every time you pray, repeat these words. That's not His motive. That's not His desire. But He's teaching them the form or the fashion of how to pray. And there's much here that we could preach on tonight. There's much that is given to us in this model prayer that we talk about, that we call it here the Lord's Prayer, as He begins to teach His disciples how to pray. You have to understand the Jews claim to know how to pray. But the Jews had very formal prayers. They had a lot of repetitious prayers. That's why the Lord warned His disciples to not be as the Pharisees that repeat their words and make long their prayers in public to be seen of men. So as the disciples here, as the Lord begins to pray, I don't know exactly where they are. The Bible said that they were just in a certain place. I don't know how long the Lord prayed. I don't know how much of it they heard. But when He ceased, when He finished, something in them said, this is not the type of praying we've heard before. This is not the type of praying that we've been doing in the past. And Lord, would You please teach us how to pray? In these days, I think it'd be good for us to learn how to pray. I think in this church world that we're living in, that there are many of the people of God that have been saved for many, many years, maybe not as long as others, but there are some that maybe been saved for a year or 10 years or maybe 20 or 30 or 40 years, and they've never asked the Lord to teach them how to pray. Do you know nobody else can teach you how to pray? We can be an example. I think that parents ought to be an example to their children. I think that they ought to hear us pray. But as far as being instructed in how to go about it, the Lord is the only one that can teach us how to pray. And so here in this scripture, there's a lot that we could say that the Lord instructs them in this model prayer. And that's not necessarily what I want to deal with tonight, but I don't want to just throw it to the side. But the Lord makes some statements in His model prayer to remind them about what it is, what their goal is. That's what He's trying to teach them. It's what their expected result is to pray, but not just to say some words as the Pharisees did, but not just to be formal in their departure or in the way they say their words, but not to build eloquence of speech, but to have the ear of God. He tells them about the sovereign. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And so the Lord reminds them who who it is that they're praying to. That they're praying to the Sovereign. Don't let that word scare you. I'm not trying to preach some far out doctrine, but the word Sovereign means having all authority and all power. And that's who the Lord is. He is the Sovereign God. There is none. He asked them in the Old Testament. He said, to who will you compare me? That we may be like or put beside me. That we may be equal. There is none. Like God. He's Sovereign. He's above everything and above everyone. He's worthy to be praised. There is nobody like Him. Even as He walked the earth, He was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. And He still reflected in a robe of flesh the Sovereign. But when they come to arrest Him that day, they dropped their swords and their spears and they went back empty-handed. And when the people asked, why have you not brought Him? Their only answer was, never man spake like this man spake. There was something about Him that was not like anybody else. And there was something about His praying. Can you imagine I sat today and began to just meditate on the service tonight and on what the Lord had put on my heart. And I'll just be honest and confess, and some of you probably done it too, but I know in days gone by I've brought in the altar beside a hero of mine and I've just kind of been quiet and listened to them pray, and some of the way they talk to God has stirred my heart and made me want to pray and not say words like they do. That's beyond the picture here. We're not talking about the words you say. As a matter of fact, the Bible said the Spirit is able to make intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. There are days in my life that I've been so needy and broken that all I could say was, help, Lord. Help, Lord. I couldn't tell Him anything else but help, Lord. But I'm glad He knows what we need in our time of need. And I've knelt beside some hero of mine or been in the service when they stood to preach, and maybe they read their text and they began to say a word of prayer before they began the message, and what a stirring in my heart to hear them pray. I think about one that comes to my mind. It's Brother Terry Pace. To hear him pray, there's just something about him. If you don't know him, you ought to know him sometime. He'll come to the pulpit. I don't know any other way to describe it. I'm just preaching about prayer tonight. We don't even understand prayer. Probably never will, but we need to learn more about it. But he comes to the pulpit and he's very quiet and soft-spoken. You have to really listen to what he says when he gives out his opening words and thanks for being there and calls out his text and reads the Scripture. But then he says, let's pray. And when he prays, something happens. And he morphs. I don't know any other word to say it. But he becomes a fireball and a man of God. Not that he wasn't before, but I'm telling you, prayer still works and has power in this day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right.
I was listening today before we come to church tonight, and if you don't go here, you'll figure it out in a minute, but my people know that I talk about songs a whole lot, and there's one that I'd heard and knew from years ago, and I knew I couldn't find those people singing it because it was only on cassette and they're not together anymore. And so I looked it up and I began to listen, and it said something like this. It said David. It talked about David, how he gathered a handful of stones and where all the other soldiers had fallen, where nobody else wanted to go against Goliath, he waited alone. And the song said, with a prayer and a little rock, the giant fell right on the spot. And what really stirred my heart was the fact the next words said, that's what David prayed for, and that's what David got. It's amazing in this day to know we serve a God that what you pray for is what you can get if you believe Him and trust Him. And the song went on to say, you can't ask too much of my God. It don't matter what trouble you're in,
The chorus said, when you're broken and you cannot find the peace of mind and it seems to leave you behind, have you spoken to the God of Abraham, of the great I Am? He's greater than any problem you've got.
And you can't ask too much of my God. Do you understand? Sometimes I feel like, and I'm going to say we here and include myself, I'm as guilty as anybody else in the building. I'm preaching myself as much as anybody else tonight. But do you understand that sometimes we come and bow around the altar and it's so formal and so full of formality that when we bow our head and we say, my Father in heaven, that we don't even really realize who we're talking to. As the song said, He's the God of Abraham. He's the one that called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and said, leave the land of your nativity and come and go with me. He's the God that when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, God gave him a child. He was the God when they got to the Red Sea and the children of Israel couldn't cross. He went one blast in his nostrils. That's what the book of Psalms said, that he parted the water and they crossed on dry ground. He's the God that sent fire for Elijah from heaven. He's the God that with an earthquake loosed the doors of the prison for Paul and Silas. He's the God that on the Isle of Patmos estranged from everybody and says to die, gave a great revelation to John about things that would be to come. And the same God that did all that, it's the same God that when you bow your head and say, my Father, it's the same God you're talking to.
Amen.
Oh yeah. And you can't ask too much of my God. And then I thought about another song. If I don't do nothing but preach these songs, it'll be alright because it's on my heart. And I thought about, there's a song and it says there was a king and he got a letter from a mighty army without number. He spread it out there for the Lord to get a view. And he's talking about Hezekiah when the army that was way more than he could number said, we're coming to get your people and coming to get you. And Hezekiah went to the top of the temple there where he lived and he spread out the words of the letter that came. And the song said, he spread it out there for the Lord to get a view. And God sent a promise and just one angel. And the army met its doom. And the song said, it's amazing what a prayer can do. It's moved mountains, parted rivers, brought the dead to life again. I've called upon an old prayer warrior a time or two, ain't you? I'm glad in this day. It said, if you're in trouble, I'm telling you, prayer's a great weapon. We focus on, there's nothing wrong with it all. We focus on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace and being girded about with the truth, and all that's good. But the armor don't end there. And the next verse says, I'm praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I'm telling you, prayer's a weapon that we need to use again in this day. And that song said, it said, that chorus said, it's moved mountains, parted rivers, brought the dead to life again. I've called upon an old prayer warrior a time or two. And it said, if you're in trouble, I'll go down on my bended knee for you. It's amazing what a prayer can do. Ain't it amazing that when we're in trouble, that prayer's just a call away? When we can't pray, have you ever been in the shape that you couldn't pray? I'm glad we're not alienated from God, but I'm glad we've got one another. And in these days, we need one another more now than we ever have before. I'm telling you, I'm glad prayer works in this day. I'm glad we have a sovereign God who knows all things. And when we don't even know, have you ever been in such a shape that you know you needed help, but you didn't know what you needed? And all you could do was ask for help. Aren't you glad that the Lord don't have to take counsel? He don't have to convene a committee to figure out what you need. But He knows our needs, the Bible said, even before we ask. And you say, well, I need help and I'm not getting it. Well, James said, we have not because we ask not.
And when we ask amiss. The word amiss means selfishly. That we may consume it of our own lust. I'm telling you, the word still does say that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
You say, can you explain that verse to me? I'll tell you what it means. It means prayer works. And I'm not talking about some lay me down to sleep prayer. God is great and God's good. Well, that's the form of prayers that the disciples had heard for so long. And in reality they may have, and I'm just preaching my thoughts the way God did to me. They may have become complacent and satisfied with that type of praying. But when they heard the Lord pray, and they knew it's different than any prayer they'd heard before, they wanted Him to teach them how to pray.
And in 2021, I'm afraid that we're living in a church age where the majority, I'm not talking about little kids, there ain't nothing wrong with teaching them and learning them those steps and teaching them how to pray as far as growing up and learning those prayers. But I'm telling you, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I become a man, he said, I put away childish things. And I'm telling you, we're in a generation where Paul said, you have need of meat, but you're not able to bear it, so I'm still giving you the milk. And we're in a day where the majority of the people of God are still hanging on to their repetitious prayers, and we need to graduate on the milk and on the meat and ask God to teach us how to pray.
See, He gave them this model prayer, and I'm trying to get down where I feel like I need to be. I'll get there in a minute, but He talks about this model prayer, and He talks about the sovereign, and He talks about our supply. He said, give us day by day our daily bread. I'm glad that the Lord supplies our every need. And He goes on and begins to talk about other things, and then He gets down there, and this is where I want to preach for just a minute. The Lord will help me. But the Lord don't end in just the model prayer. He don't end in just day by day our bread, or His will be done, or forgive us our sins and deliver us from evil. But He said, which of you?
Now He's going to talk about some relationships. You know why we can pray tonight? It's because we have a relationship.
He said, which of you have a friend? And He comes at midnight and He says, friend, I know it's late, but He said, my other friend's come. And he said, I don't have anything to give him. Can you lend me some loaves? I'm going to tell you, when you pray tonight, do you understand you're talking to your friend? You let that sink in just a minute, that he's our friend.
The Bible said a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And it's not just some other writer. It would be good enough. It's the inspired Word of God for us to base it on what Solomon said in Proverbs 18:24. But let's take what the Lord Himself said in John 15:13. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
And that's you and me. And we're His friends. Oh, we read that scripture about Abraham being called a friend of God. What a wonderful title. But do you understand tonight that the same God that was Abraham's friend and that Abraham was a friend to is the same God that's a friend to us in our time of trouble?
The old song in the Redback book says, I have a friend divine walking with me, making my pathway shine, mighty is He. Jesus, the one I love, gladly I sing, praises to God above, He is my King. He's just not my King and the sovereign God, but He's my friend tonight.
And He wants to get their attention. He don't want them just to go away and rehearse this prayer and say it two or three times a day. That's what they've all been doing. That's what the Pharisees have done for many years now. That's why they asked Jesus why that John's disciples made prayers. He said, they're not praying like we pray. And that was a good thing. And Jesus is trying to get them past of the formalism. He's trying to get them to understand that they don't need to repeat His words. It's not about repetition. It's about a relationship. And so He says, any of you have a friend? He wants to get them to understand. He's trying to teach them heavenly things, and He's giving them an earthly illustration to help their finite minds understand that the God in heaven that they pray to is their friend. And He said, if you have a friend and have a need, He said, you won't hesitate but ask your friend instantly. You say, where does He say that? Well, in the Scriptures, He said, which of you have a friend? And you need some bread, and it's midnight. You don't wait till 6 o'clock in the morning when you know they're up. He said, you go right then. Why is it any different with God? When He's our friend, and trouble comes, and we need help, and situations arise that we can't do anything about, and we wring our and twist our hands, and there ain't nothing wrong with calling others and asking them to pray and seeking advice. But why is it that we seem to wait until it's a convenient season? If He's our friend, we can ask instantly. And not only instantly, but Jesus uses this word. It's not one I come up with. It's in this Scripture. He said, we ask with importunity. That's just a big word that means persistence. What Jesus meant is if you have a friend and you go to their house at midnight, knock on the door and say, friend, a friend of mine's coming a journey and I don't have anything to set before it. I need 3 loaves. And He just kind of brushes it off. He said, you knock again and ask again, knock again and ask again. He said, if He won't give you just because He's your friend, but because you're persistent, well, He rise and give to you as many as you need. I'm going to tell you something about what the Lord was saying here. The flesh gets weary with persistence. What the Lord was saying is you have worn the friend out, and He's going to get up at one way or another and give you what you need. But the Lord doesn't weary with persistence. He delights in it. That's why He said, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay. That's why He said, everyone that asketh, receiveth. Anytime in the Scripture you have a verb that ends with E-T-H, it is a continual, persistent action. He said, if you'll ask and ask and ask, eventually you'll receive. If you seek and seek and seek, eventually you'll find. If you knock and knock and knock, eventually it will be open to you. And it'll be done because of our relationship with Him. Not that we're anything special. Not that we have earned any deeds or merited any favor of Him. But it's that relationship, that love, that bond that will cause Him to act on our behalf. Yes, sir. Because He's our friend. But He's not just my friend. But the last verse I read, I think, said, which of you, being a father, if your son asks you for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Or a fish, will you give him a serpent? And He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them that ask Him? He's not just our friend, but He's our Father. And when my children come and I'm fallible and I'm evil, just like that, we're all evil. That's what the Lord said about us. Our flesh, in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And I got four little girls, and if they come to me and ask me for something, I'm going to do everything in my power to get it for them. But there are some things I can't do. And I'm going to make a statement right here, and you hear me well. When we go to our Heavenly Father, He'll do everything in His power to give you what you need. And there's nothing He can't do. Can you think? I thought about what an old preacher said one time, that he loves his children so much. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And an old preacher said, he loves his children so much that if you were thirsty, he'd drain the ocean dry and he'd give you a drink. He's our Father. When we address Him, when we go to Him, when we pray, we're speaking to our friend and our Father. And Jesus says, on the basis of those relationships, He said, I want you to ask, I want you to seek, and I want you to knock. He said, ask, and it shall, He uses affirmative action in all of that. Ask, and it shall be given thee. You say, what do I ask, preacher? You can ask anything. There's nothing He can't do. You know, you can't just ask anything, but do you know you can ask anywhere? I don't have to come to church to ask Him. And I got to thinking today, in this technological world that we're living in, the best they can do with all the technology they have and the signals and the satellites, but there are still some places that we're out of range. But He's never out of range. In the deepest, darkest valley, in the darkest dungeon, in the worst storm of your life. You know, it's amazing sometimes you can be in a spot, and I'm not trying to get carnal and physical, I'm just preaching what's on my heart, but that you can be in a place where you always have good signal and the weather can change and take away your signal. But I'm glad in the good times and the bad, on the mountains and the valleys, when the warm winds are blowing, or when the rains are beating down, He's not out of reach. And did you know you can ask Him anytime? There's a dear sister, she's went on to be with the Lord not too long ago, but one of the main things I remembered about her was they used to sing a song, I can call Jesus anytime. And she'd sing, He is always on the line. You'll never get the busy signal. I don't know if this means anything to you or not, but it means something in my heart. Have you ever had an expectation of wanting to go somewhere, done your best to get there, only to roll up in the parking lot and the open sign be off because their hours of operation were passed? Have you ever really needed something and couldn't get it because the store was closed? I remember one time not too long ago, I raised sheep, most of you know. And I had one that was sick and I needed to get some medicine. And we left church here one night and I just knew that the store would be open. And I drove as fast as I could drive safely, whipped it in the parking lot, on the look and a vacancy, and on the sign it was closed. But there'd been some wee hours of the morning when my soul was in trouble. And I needed some help. I never have went to God and His office been closed.
I never have went to God and been past His hours of operation. For the Bible said, He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's always available. Anytime. And I know what you're thinking in your heart. And the Lord did too. That's why He put it on my heart. You say, preacher, I know I can ask anything. I know I can ask anywhere. I know I can ask anytime, but don't worry about that. Just ask anyhow. When your flesh says it won't work, just ask anyhow. When your family says give up, just ask anyhow. Or when you feel like you're not getting through, just ask anyhow. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. The word seek means to search for what's missing. Now I'm going to tell you, throughout our Christian life, we go through a lot of ups and downs, and some things that are necessary in our life become missing. We lose sense of His presence. Not that He's gone, but we can't feel Him. And we can't sense Him. Or we get to that place like the disciples were on the boat when He was in the hinder part asleep. And they said, Master, cast thou not that we perish. But they sought Him. And they found Him. Now I'm going to tell you, find what you're looking for tonight. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not preaching some far out thing. Jesus is not addressing, if you read this scripture, He's not addressing every want, every wish, anything you can dream up, though He's able. But what the Lord is addressing here is our needs, our necessities. And Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so if you're in need of something tonight, seek, you'll find what you're needing. And He said, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You say, what do I do if I knock and the door don't open? Knock again. Matter of fact, I thought it strange that the Lord, I felt compelled today to look up them words in their context, ask, seek, and knock. I thought, Lord, I know what knock means. I know what that word means. I know what it means to knock. I don't want to mess it up here. But the word knock in that scripture literally means to knock or to rap with heavy blows. And I'm going to tell you, if you need something from the Lord, you're not going to go pray and no. If you really need something from Him, you'll knock. And He said, if you do, it shall be opened unto you. We're talking, some of us were, before service started, and I'm done tonight. We're living in a day, in an hour, in a world where there's so much anxiety, there's so much discouragement, there's so much depression, there's so much unsurety, there's so much worry, there's so much fret. And the answer that we need, the solution to our problems, the calm to our storm, is just one call away. And He's awaiting to hear from you. Lord, teach us how to pray. I don't know about you, but in these days of trouble, in these days of tribulation, in these days of darkness, in these last days of perilous times, I want to learn how to pray. I want to be persistent. I don't want to give up. I want to get His ear, and I need some things from Him, and so do you. And He said, if we'd ask, we'd receive. And if we'd seek, we'd find. And if we'd knock, it would be opened unto us. As we stand all over the house tonight, I don't know what your needs are.